We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. Now here's your program.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus, our morning talk program. My name's David Inge, and we're glad to have you listening. We're also happy to have back in studio here once again the man we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore. For a long time now, he's been stopping by on a regular basis. We've been doing this on the first Wednesday at 10 o'clock for a long time. We talk about cooking, picking some topic, and then sort of talking about that, taking questions, taking recipes, and sometimes by the time we end up, we stray a little bit off of the topic, and that's fine. That's not a firm and hard rule that you've got to stay on the topic, but that gives us a place to start, and then who knows where we ramble over the course of the hour. And this time around, Doyle said he was interested in talking about grilling vegetables. And we'll get into this now. And when I heard grilling vegetables, I thought, oh, you mean like on the barbecue grill, on the charcoal grill, which is, you know, I like to cook on. Some people use gas. I'm thinking, oh, you mean like cooking outside. So we're sitting here talking before the show, and I find out, well, actually, he's thinking about using a grill pan and doing it inside. So now this even opens up further the possibilities here for grilling vegetables. I guess, though, the one sure thing is that something special happens when you do that. And other kinds of cooking, you don't get these qualities emerging from the vegetables. So whether you do it on a grill pan inside, maybe you want to do it outside, whichever way, if you have a good grilled vegetable recipe, why don't you give us a call and share it with us and the other people who are listening. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455, and you may email your thoughts, questions, comments, whatever, to will-talk@illinois.edu. It's good to have you here.
Yes, thank you.
So apparently this all starts with corn.
With corn. It does start with corn. I have been cooking corn for a month now, ever since we could get it, because, well, we talked before about there was always some hesitancy to want to do this, but I was mad because I had a brand new stove, and I've got this beautiful grill that fits over the two long burners, and I thought, well, if that's what it is, then why don't I use it? Why aren't I using that? I'm not too keen on barbecuing outside or grilling outside because, well, you have to work at it a lot.
Yeah,
and I'm not excited about that as much as I am. Turn on the fire. There it is, and then I'm sort of cataloging in my mind. You know, on the Food Channel, they've been doing more and more and more grilling indoors. Rachel Ray is always doing her hamburgers and her steaks and things. And I thought, well, that's a lot of attention to give to that, and so I should give more attention to it. And I know that we had talked about grilling corn, but it was always a mystery. I'm sorry, I sort of give the information and wonder what it's really all about, because a lot of street foods in a lot of places are grilled on a grill and. And are the vegetables, and I just decided and went ahead and did it, and I have enjoyed every bit of it. I have some things that I've learned about it, and now my brother-in-law in Wyoming grills corn, but he does it in a different manner, and although I tolerate his, I like mine better.
Well, this is one of those things that we've talked about before, and I have myself have had this ambition to grill corn and grill it on the charcoal grill,
yes,
outside in the summertime. And it's one of those things that I've thought about and wanted to do, and maybe I make too much of it, but I still haven't I haven't done it.
Well, when you after you have done it once and you taste it, it is wonderful. And another thing that a lot of recipes are having now, grill the corn, cut it off, and make a salsa with it. So you have a grilled corn salsa.
I bet that'd be real good.
And that would be real. I mean, it's a totally different taste from just regular corn boiled or treated however you want it. And then you can put all kinds of flavors to it as well, which I don't do. I just don't have anything but olive oil on it.
Yeah, I know people, they like to do things like put chili powder, cumin, sort of Latin
and
spices.
And maybe half mayonnaise, half sour cream, and have quite a messy messy covering,
I've also seen things like a kind of a vinaigrette made with lime juice.
Yes.
Lime vinaigrette.
Yes.
I'm sure that there's sort of whatever you like. You can use olive oil. You can use butter. You know, whatever kind of things.
Butter will burn faster than anything else. Olive oil burns the least, so you can really rely on olive oil. And peanut oils are all right, but they're going to burn a little bit too. So olive oil is really the best thing to use if you're just going to use only oil. Now, there are various marinades that are done. I guess I would do that. That adds another 30 minutes onto the cooking process to make marinades out of wines and herbs and such things, and you need them to marinate for at least 30 minutes. But there would be some vegetables that would benefit by that.
Yeah, okay. We have a caller. Why don't we talk?
Good.
About
that? Let's
in Indiana, Brazil.
Get to grilling.
Indiana, line one. Hello.
Hi, my name is Denise, and I live in beautiful Brazil, Indiana, and we love to grill. I'm a teacher, so I have the luxury right now of having a little bit of time off. And during the school year, I got to do things that are really quick and easy.
Uh-huh.
And vegetables are healthy, and this is really simple and really delicious. This is something that you cook in foil. The recipe calls for eggplant, just kind of cut up or cubed. Squash, whatever kind you want, and I put in whatever vegetables I have around. What works well, some peppers, onions, mix that up in a bowl, and add a few tablespoons of pesto.
Oh, and pesto, huh?
Stuff that you've made or something from a jar works fine. Mix that up. Put it in foil so that it's sealed so the vegetables will steam. Make sure you leave enough space so the vegetables have some room to steam. And you have to kind of check them. Every once in a while, if I don't watch, they get a little bit mushy, but they're still delicious. And then when you're done, you put it back in the same bowl you mix the vegetables in with the pesto.
Oh, yes.
And add a little bit of gorgonzola or feta. The recipe that I got, I think, called for gorgonzola, and it is really delicious. And I bet if you added a few pine nuts, it would be scrumptious too.
So now you sort of chop the vegetables up. They're bite size.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I like to cube the eggplant.
Yes.
And it works really pretty well if the skin is still on the eggplant, if it's not too tough, and
uh-huh.
the same thing with nice summer squash. But really, what I do with vegetables in the summer and throughout the year, whatever I've got, I do something like that. Or another thing, if you've got one of those little burners on your grill, take your skillet out there, add a little olive oil, a little garlic, and whatever vegetables you've got in your garden, fridge, whatever, just slice them up just for like 3-4 minutes, saute them, add some herbs from your garden, and it's great. And one thing that I think people forget to add, adding a little bit of tomato in your sauteed vegetables is really
good. Oh, yes.
It's really delicious. I mean, you slice those beautiful tomatoes for your burgers, your bowl
right.
burgers, whatever, your sandwiches. You got that little bit left over. Save those and add them to your sauteed vegetables because it really, really is delicious.
That would be a good topping. That sounds very good. It doesn't sound as complex as I would want to make
no.
it, you know. It
no.
sounds very direct, and very easy.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be easy. In the summer, I can mess around more. But during the school year, we like to eat, good, healthy food. And my husband's great at grilling. And I'm the prep chef at home. But anyways, I love your show.
Oh, thank you.
And it's another beautiful day here.
Oh, it is indeed.
Great. So thank you very
much. Thank you very much. I appreciate the recipe. Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of people appreciate the fact that I'm sure that this is really good. It sounds really good to me, but that it's also really quick and easy, and it's not a lot of messing around. And there may be some times during the week, particularly in our house, it would be on the weekend, when you could take some more time. But during the week, you want to get it on the table, and it just can't. You're always looking for something that's relatively easy.
The vegetables in a foil. My brother taught me to cook fish that way. Put fish, and then the same vegetables are there, squash and peppers and onions and lemon, and wrap that up, and they were all inside that. I never made that jump that's what I was doing. You know, that was called, that's the fish dish,
mm-hmm.
And I never treated it as a special thing. But I guess I could allow myself to make vegetables only in the little pouch.
And when he does that, does he do that in the oven, or does he do that
the grill? No, that's right. He does it in the oven.
Okay. Yes. So certainly you could do the same thing. If you didn't want to heat up the house, you could fire up your outdoor grill, and then you could just take your packets and put them on the grill. And
Bobby Flay does. Yeah. Bobby Flay does that exactly that. He makes the pouches and then puts them on the grill while he's cooking all the other stuff.
See, that maybe that's what I should. I've tried to on one grill to do meat and vegetables together, and
uh-huh.
somehow that doesn't quite work. And I don't know if the fire is hot enough for the meat. It's too hot for the vegetables. It's maybe a little too smoky. There's something. It just doesn't work. And I'm almost to the point where I think this is a little mental maybe, but I'm almost to the point of thinking that I should actually have a separate grill. If I'm going to do meat and vegetables, do meat on the one, do vegetables on the other.
Well, I've been impressed. I always hesitate using a grill. It's just a lot of trouble. And not only is it a lot of trouble, but I remember months and months of chicken that was never cooked right. And what is happening is people are getting keener with how to grill, and there are thousands of things that you do that no one ever did in the mm-hmm. late 50s, 60s. They never did that. Bam, the meat goes on, slop goes on something, and then it carefully burns, and the middle of the chicken is still undone, and you don't know what's happened. You say, well, I did it like I thought it was, and there was no finesse. And now it's a matter of always put it at this place in here, or not the hottest place, and then you you scorch it first and then set it off to the side and let it do the cooking. Mm-hmm. And then there's some that even have a little raised a bit in the outdoor grill. So we have become, and that's what I'm sort of aware of, we've had some finesse with this open
Yeah.
open style of cooking.
See, I also had that problem with chicken, and then one day I discovered that you can grill a boneless, skinless breast.
Yes.
Provided that you marinate it.
Yes.
And you're careful with how you do
careful.
It so that you don't get it overdone. But I, you know, have done it enough now so that I've got my timing right and I've got everything set, and I think that it works.
And skin side down first.
Beautifully. And is it, well, on the ones that I'm using, they don't even have
skin.
Oh,
they're skinless,
They're
yeah.
skinless. But so for that reason, though, you really have to, there has to be some sort of marinade. You have to have something
yes.
on there so that you don't end up overdoing. But then If you got all your variables right, it works beautifully. So I just a long time ago I would have tried to do it on the bone,
uh-huh.
a breast on the bone, and it just didn't. I had that same problem. I feel like either it's not cooked or it's burned, something. I didn't have it down right, and finally I figured out, oh wait a minute, I could do it like this, and have kind of learned how to do that. And so now for chicken, that's what I do.
Uh-huh.
A skinless, boneless breast works perfect.
I'm not cooking meat. I've quit eating meat because of the gout, but I want to butterfly a chicken because I like that idea.
Oh, uh-huh.
Because you're flattening it all out and it's all the same thickness, and you turn it once and the whole thing is done. I'm impressed. But again, marinate it.
Yeah.
which is something else that we never did in the old days. Throw it on and stand back and eat the charcoal and think that you're having a good time.
We probably did think that we were having a good time. I don't know. When I was a kid, my dad, we talked about this. One of the things that he used to do was he cooked a beef roast with the charcoal grill, and he had an electric rotisserie deal.
Oh, yes.
So it would cook for a very long period of time, and I all thought it was great, and it did have great flavor. It probably, by today's standards, was rather well done. I remember he would set it up, and it would make this, the motor would make this kind of noise, going,
oh, yeah,
like that. So it would do that. And I'm sure that he cooked it for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And it seemed like it was, we didn't have that a lot. It was sort of a special deal, but I always thought that it was great and it had great flavor. But my mother believed that something should be cooked until it was clearly dead. So today's standards, I'd say probably it would be, some people would say, you have overdone this.
We
thought it was really good. And it was a dad thing. He was the one who did it and on the charcoal grill. Let's talk with somebody here on the campus. Line one. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
I just called to support some of the things you've been talking about. I also now butterfly poultry if I use a whole chicken.
Oh, yes.
Like that. And it really does work better. And you mentioned marinade. Another thing I like to do with especially with pork or poultry is to brine it if I have the time.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Brine the chicken, yes.
With some salt and a little bit of brown sugar. And also roasting corn on the grill is just absolutely fantastic. And what you want to do is try to get a bit of a char on the corn.
Yes.
That's... So it looks almost burnt, and that's the caramelization, and it is just amazing.
That's what I was hesitant about, like, do I really want to burn this? Well, the answer is yes, you do. And mm-hmm. it does give a caramelized char to it. And it's just, I don't even have to put any butter or salt or pepper on it. I grab it off the grill and wait till it cools and gnaw away at it.
Mm-hmm. So do you
haven't been brave enough to try it just roasting it in the husk, so I always clean it and butter it and then wrap it in foil.
Uh-huh.
Just this week I did some, and I took one ear and I sprinkled it with a barbecue rub before I wrapped it up, and it really came out nice.
Some of the new recipes are involving these spicier concoctions with corn, and so that would be very interesting.
Another vegetable that does great on the grill is asparagus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and what I do is I clean it and prepare it, and then just drizzle it with some olive oil,
yes,
on, and then leave it whole and lay it on the grill. And just kind of roll it every few minutes. It only takes maybe 6-7 minutes to cook fully, and then take it off. And it is also really a beautiful treat if you like asparagus.
And that browning on the asparagus is a totally different taste from mm-hmm. the boiled or steamed asparagus. Mm-hmm. Totally different taste. It almost makes you think that eating is worthwhile.
And it's you just have to be careful that you don't roll it through the wires on the.
Yes, front. Exactly. Yeah, get them going across instead of down through. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm a diehard charcoal person. Gas is for my stove, charcoal is for outside.
Well, I'm with you there.
Good for you.
All right. Well, thank you much.
Well, thanks.
Enjoying the show.
All right. I like the idea of grilling asparagus because I certainly have had it roasted in the oven, which is really
uh-huh.
good.
Uh-huh.
And again, I think it's the caramelization thing. Even in asparagus, there must be some natural sugars that can develop, and you get a different thing. And for people who maybe would say, well, they think asparagus is a little bit of a strong flavor for them, you might try this, and it might you might change your mind about asparagus.
I think it was either Paula Deen or Ina Garten last week that did asparagus, roasting it in the oven.
I think I like asparagus, but I guess I was I came to asparagus late in life.
Oh yes,
I came to asparagus late in life. I wanted to mention since I was the one who have gotten us sort of off on this tear of cooking outside on the grill. And you were wanting to talk about grilling inside.
Well, either one.
But I think the thing is that I think it's interesting that now, it's not exactly a recent development, but, you know, like maybe in the last 5 years or more, we've seen more and more grill pans.
Yes.
Pans that are heavy, generally heavy pans, that have little ridges in them.
On one side, and you can flip them over and cook pancakes on the other side. These pans, the one that I have, it came with my stove, covers the two whole entire burners, so it's long and narrow, sort of like those that were made in Vermont out of soapstone. They're long and narrow, oval shaped, They're not oval. They're round on each end, and you use the whole burner, and that just seemed to interest me a lot. You can buy them. They're a little more costly than I think that they should be, except they really work and they really are good. They're about $49 at kitchen stores for a good cast iron with. And I've seen them. I've been in homes. I never saw anybody cook on them. And within the last year, as I say, if Rachel Ray isn't doing it, then Jada DeLaurentis is doing it. And they're just so excited and giggly about cooking this on the inside. Now, one thing is, I do have a hood with on the top, so that you don't really get any smoke in the house. You don't have to.
That's kind of a I think if you don't have a good vent for your stove, you don't want to be doing this. That's kind of a problem.
So my new stove has a vent. So I felt free enough to do that. Yeah. And now one of my tricks, my new trick. Let's see. I made a little boat out of aluminum foil and put olive oil in it, and then would turn the corn cob in the olive oil and just set it right straight onto the grill. Across, not parallel to the notches, but across the notches, so that it has more contact with those ridges. And start cooking it, but then I found that it got a little bit excited and would sputter and pop very loudly, and I was afraid that it would make a mess. So I had my frying pan right beside it that had a big lid on it, and I just took the lid and put it on top of it, and that kept the sputtering down, and I think kind of maybe allowed some steam to occur underneath the cooking of that. And the part that surprises me is that I'm thinking, oh, this is going to take a few minutes. Well, it takes almost 25 minutes to cook six pieces of corn on that bit. You're going to spend that much time because you do want to turn it frequently so that you aren't killing it. You know, you want this nice little brown, but oh, then when you eat it, The texture of the corn changes. It dries out slightly dries out, but it's easier actually to gnaw it off of the cob than the boiled is. I mean, it loosens things up. Everything is all loose in it, and that charcoal flavor. What a surprise! What a delight!
And you're looking for a little bit of that charring.
A little bit of exactly that. Yeah. Yeah,
that's great.
Love it.
I have an email here from a former student of yours, someone named Rose.
Oh, yes.
You know Rose?
Yes,
she says, OMG, Doyle is a vegetarian? Wow, when did this happen?
Well, it happened about 3.5 years ago when my gout was so painful that walking, I said, okay, do you want a hamburger or do you want to walk? And I chose to walk. And by eliminating red meat. I'm eating fish occasionally now, but that's only been in this last 4 or 5 months, and I don't eat it every day. It works. I do not have gout problems.
Excellent.
So that's why I feel so good about it.
Okay. Thank you, Rose. Let's talk with someone in. Oh, by the way, the caller who called in initially from Brazil called back and just suggested that if people are looking for good grilling recipes, they might look at the Cook's Illustrated Guide to Grilling and Barbecue by the same folks who do Cook's Illustrated magazine. She says great recipes and info on that.
Last Saturday they grilled corn. Yes.
I think
all I ever do is sit and watch television. Well, it just about is. I keep up with them all. That's my entertainment.
All right. And let's talk with someone in Urbana, line number one. Hello.
Hi there.
Yes.
I was also somebody who looked at Cook's Magazine, and there was this one little thing about green beans. And this is not quite grilling, but they suggested taking old green beans and a little olive oil, salt and pepper, and roasting them. At 475, I got my oven to go up to 550.
Good.
And they say, you know, don't worry if they look a little black and crinkled at the end. And we have just found those to be great. In fact, now I use my black iron skillets to roast everything from peppers, onions, just long time, and they just kind of crisp up French fries. Oh, it's so much fun.
It is indeed, isn't it?
You don't need a vent because it really doesn't. Unless you let it burn completely.
Well, olive oil won't smoke too much.
Yeah.
And are you doing this on top of the stove or in
the oven? No, in the oven.
In the oven, but you're using your iron pan to...
Yeah, black iron skillets and no tops.
And no tops, yep.
And you just got to wait it out like the French fries. Now, I do use canola oil for the French fries. And you just have to wait them out and, they just get so crisp. You know, now you do have to move them around once in a while. And the real risk is... not realizing those pans stay hot for a really long time.
Yes, indeed.
And it's better in winter, too, because in summer it would maybe be a little hotter.
Well, that's why you want those iron pans. Those iron pans are absolute. I just love these. When somebody like Test Kitchen says, well, now we tried all of these frying pans, and this one is good, and that one is good, and this one's good, and that one's good. But if you really want to do it, get a cast iron. Yeah, and so I too am a cast iron fan.
Now, personally, then I started, because I have a lot of time around it, I will put on a high temperature and do a French onion soup where you roast, caramelize the
onions
with the wine and just cook it and let it just kind of get gooey.
Get gooey. You're absolutely right.
Anyway, thank you.
All right. Thank you for the call.
I've never heard French onion soup called that, but that's exactly what it is. It's different from just sauteing the onions for something in a stew or so. They get gooey and caramely and brown and goopy. But they're good.
Doyle Moore is here. He's the man we like to call our chef in residence.
That's because we have such refined taste.
Absolutely. After all, this is public radio. And for a long time now, once a month, on the first Wednesday he's been stopping by, we talk about food and cooking and just generally have a good time and pick a particular topic and talk a little bit about that and then go other strange ways. And this time around, he said he was interested in talking about and hearing about people's experiences grilling vegetables. And I, as I said at the beginning, I right away thought, oh, you mean like on the charcoal grill? And he says, well, sure, you can do that. But the way he's been doing it is with a grill inside, a kind of grill that goes on top of the stove. It sits on top of the burners, gets heated by the burners, and then that's right. Your cooking surface is this cast iron thing. And questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. I earlier this back this winter, I had to get a new wok because the one I was using was nonstick, which I liked because it took less oil. But
yeah,
eventually, you know, no matter how gentle you are, the stuff comes off. So I decided, okay, I was going to get me a new wok, and I thought about it, and I looked at various woks, and I decided to buy a cast iron wok, which I now have and I've been cooking on. It was made by the Lodge folks.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
it's huge,
and it's a wok.
And it's very heavy.
And Lodge,
and it's a wok made by the Lodge. And I like it a lot. I think I'm still – had still been coming to make friends with it, but I've been using that, and I like it. It's
Mongolian nice. Cooking is done on a cast iron kind of object, which purportedly was once a helmet. I don't – I just hope the guy who was cooking didn't have to go to war real fast, you know. but there were objects that military used. I think there was even some that uses a shield that they would have had. And then the idea of the hoe cake that the folks working in the field could however, what I have found out, it's not the kind of hoe that you use to hoe the vegetable. It's a flat one that's like a little tiny shovel that you do the hoeing in a different manner. It still works, but that you can set over the fire, and it's flat, and it becomes a thing. And they aren't cast iron; they're steel.
But so it's like a little griddle,
a little tiny griddle, yeah. Uh-huh. And so that made sense because I kept for years and years I kept imagining how you hold the hoe up in the air to cook it to make a hoe cake. Well, anyway, that works.
All right. Well, here we're just out of control. Questions welcome, 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. And you can email us at will-talk@illinois.edu. And if you have a good grilled vegetable recipe, maybe you might want to share it with us. Particularly, Doyle said the reason he got into this was by doing corn. And that's something we've talked about in the past, grilling corn, particularly grilling it on the outside. And I know a lot of people do it, although there are different. Some people just like to grill it naked. Some people like to
soak it in water.
And wrap the husks around it and cook it
way. And then char the husks.
And then char the husks. That apparently gives it, adds a nice sort of flavor to that. So, I don't know, maybe people have a particular way of doing that they would tell us about.
Another vegetable that I like to cook in this manner is a Vidalia onion. Now, I treat Vidalia onions with great respect. I think that they're absolutely wonderful. And one way I do like is just to wrap them up in aluminum foil and put them in the oven and cook them for about an hour. That's good. That's really good. But you cut them in about 3/4 inch slice and put them on this little grill and grill them outside like that with a little olive oil on it. It changes the character. It does refine it, and it does cause it to become sweeter. You wouldn't think so, but it does.
Well, and that's a good one to start out with because it's already a little bit
sweeter. And Vidalia is sweet anyway, yeah. I wouldn't be afraid of a dark red one, but the Vidalias, and they're in right now. They're available right now. So get some onions are good. Tomatoes, you kind of want to sop out some of the juice so that you aren't trying to fry juice, you know. Mm-hmm. But then tomatoes, they tend to almost want to turn into what the sun-dried tomato does. It's a nice leathery taste. But tomatoes grilled are good. Or you can take a whole tomato, cut it in half crossways, not from the top to the bottom, but across the middle, and then turn them skin side down and grill them that way. Mm-hmm. And it would end up being very much like a Provençal style of tomato, which the larger amount of the tomato is cooked and has become flat.
And now, would you put a little oil on that too?
Oh yes,
so
yes.
You pretty much always.
You always want to oil it, yeah. And I don't find it's well, it doesn't smoke and carry on anyway. But I think one of the reasons that I like using the indoor grill is that 2 minutes with the flame on, it's ready to go. I keep it as hot as I can get it, so that it isn't that matter of turning it down. In the first place, the fire doesn't come up that high. It isn't a real blazing heat, and I found that just having it on and having it on high has allowed me to cook a lot. Oh, and then I took the brats off. I cooked brats on it the other. I took the corn off and put brats on it. And they want to be rolled over and over and over quite a bit. But, and again, I utilize the uh, the lid to keep them flat. You can flatten. You can take the round part and put it down and flatten it out, and you can cook brats on that grill too. And I wouldn't be doing pork chops, but I would love to, because they look so good.
Sounds
they
pretty good to
they
me.
They look so good when Rachel Ray does it.
And you grilled some onions on there, get them nice and caramelized, a little thyme with that, and put that with your pork chops.
Also really spring onions, whole spring onions, work beautifully grilled. They are another marvelous taste. Well, I mean, everything. Squash will cook well. You can take, in fact, that might be the thing to do with those large zucchinis that you didn't know what to do, is cut them in rounds and then just grill them as rounds. You don't need to use the baby ones, the little courgettes, and then slice them. They could be long, and you turn them upside down, they'd be good.
Okay. We're here for, about another 10 minutes in this part of Focus. It's our monthly cooking show. First Wednesday, we've been doing it for a long time with Doyle Moore. We like to call him our chef in residence. He shows up and we pick a topic and talk about that and exchange stories and recipes and always have a good time. And if you want to call in, 333-9455. That's the Champaign-Urbana number. We have a toll-free line, 800-222-9455. And also you can email whatever's on your mind to will-talk@illinois.edu. I was just thinking about this, my cast iron wok. One of the things that I really noticed about it was that it must have something to do with the conductivity of the material. That mm-hmm. is, in fact, you can set it on the stove and put a fairly low flame under it. And in a relatively short period of time, it's going to get really hot. It doesn't have to be a big blazing fire under it.
No, but if you had a big blazing fire, you could have a different style of cooking. That's really the wok style with a lot of heat is totally different from just braising or not. I don't mean braising, sautéing slightly, and we don't use as heavy a fire as you should, but you're right. Cast iron holds the heat and conducts the heat and does quite well. Just don't put too much sugar in it so it doesn't burn and stay on the inside. You have to watch sugar with grilling.
Yeah, and I have a nice big cast iron pan that my wife gave me as a present some years ago, and I still haven't used, which I feel pretty bad about. I don't know if it's that I don't think about it or if it is a little bit different. You have to kind of know how to handle it. It's just a little bit different than the other pans. And somehow I just haven't quite made friends with it now. Maybe since I have a cast iron wok, maybe I'd better make friends with my big – that's also a large pan. It's a great big one.
I have one. It's quite large, and if you are cooking certain things for a large number of people, it's beautiful. It isn't for two people to having eggs in the morning. it just isn't. First, it's just too heavy. But the larger frying pan is a good thing to have. Yes, Mother always made her chili in a skillet. She didn't have a Dutch oven.
Really?
Yeah, she always made it. Now that I think back to the skillets, the skillet was what she used to make the chili in, and it stayed in there all day long.
Well, we've
done that.
We've talked about that. We've talked about the famous chili quest,
right?
And before on the show. Somebody wants to call in, talk with us? Oh, we got somebody lined up here, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455, and that email is will-talk@illinois.edu. And here's somebody right here in Urbana, line one. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
I was fascinated with your discussion about stovetop grilling, because back in the day I had tried using a stovetop griddle, and unfortunately, I have an electric range, so I ended up with two hot spots.
Yes,
and so things over those spots got charcoal and things in the middle, you had to constantly, if you were making hash browns, it was one thing, but for...
Yeah, you're going to throw them around a lot, yeah.
Yeah, but if you can give some suggestions about some ways to pick out a stovetop grill that would be useful on an electric, that would be helpful. Also, if you have any suggestions on cooking things like zucchini, summer squash, those kinds of things on the grill, and whether you use the one of those vegetable baskets that they have for grilling or if you just do them on the actual grill top. And I'll listen for my answers offline.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think my suggestion was if the squashes are large, you can cut them crossways and they would be, you know, 2 or 3 inches, and then they wouldn't fall through the grill, and you could then put them right. Now, I think we're talking about outdoor grill,
yeah, yeah.
Because I always thought that those containers you're supposed to put things on with little holes underneath them, I always felt that they kept the heat away. I know that they heat up as well, and then it's supposed to work, but it seemed to be too artificial. You know,
mm-hmm.
I want mine with a stick jabbed in it and stuck in the ground. If you're going to do cooking. I've had those, and I've never been successful, and I didn't like it, which is why I don't like that kind of cooking. But I would think with squash, you might want to marinate the squash. That would give you a new taste. A marinade, a good marinade for squash would be some white wine and olive oil, and then lemon or orange peel, and then some fresh herbs and parsley sprigs and pepper, and combine all those ingredients and then marinate that for about 30 minutes, and that would even for the vegetables, that would give another little boost to squash. I find squash sometimes gets just a little sort of ho-hum, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I like squash with rosemary in it. Ooh, rosemary. Mm-hmm. Rosemary is really good with the squash. That's the one that I make, and then end up with cream and green grapes.
mm-hmm.
it isn't done on the grill, but that combination. So zucchini, small ones, baby ones, courgettes, you could cut lengthwise and grill them. I've seen them do that a lot. But I think the bigger ones you'd cut across.
Yeah.
And butternut squash, cut it about a half inch thick. And it's in rounds because it's that shape. And a butternut squash would be very good. I believe what I'm the information I'm getting now is that marinating is a very, very good thing for vegetables.
Yeah. And I get this is not exactly, you know, profound, but I suppose if people are really concerned about managing the vegetables on the grill and concerned with stuff falling in, I mean, the easiest thing to do is just put it on a skewer. And then,
oh, yeah.
Then that way, you know, you can get a whole bunch of, you can cut it in smaller pieces, you can keep them under control, and then that makes it a little easier so that you if you can get it on there right, you turn the skewer and you turn everything at once. So
let's push that one bit farther. Put it on two skewers so it's
even flat. Yeah,
and then when you turn it, it's perfectly all right. Now, I didn't answer his question about the electric cooking on with a grill pan. I don't know what the answer would be. Much to my delight, my stove has a very long burner. It has three burners that all fit together, and so it's designed to utilize this kind of cooking pan, which is also another thing that encouraged me to do it because I knew you'd have two hot spots.
Mm-hmm.
My guess would be try to cook things only on those spots so that you can keep the cooking similar and sort of avoid the middle, which doesn't give you a very large area to work. Another one would be to get a round, a kind of like a skillet that you can get those grill skillets, and then that would only go over one cooker, and it would spread out at a, but it would be a full skillet size.
Yeah, they make them, and they actually look like skillets.
Yes.
They have a handle like a skillet,
but then they've got the ridges in the middle. That might slow that problem down. I'm not keen on cooking with electricity. I don't know why. Well, I've had a couple of electric stoves, but yeah. I was never jumping up and down about them.
Somehow, the thing about the flame is, to me, it seems like, and maybe it's just that you can see it.
Yes.
You can see a little bit whether is it high, medium, low, whatever it is. And when you turn it off, it's off.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And that, I like cooking that way. I guess, you know, some people, depending on where they live, they don't have a choice between the two. And I suppose some people do also like the things now that are like, I'm not exactly sure how they work. They have some sort of magical electric heating element, that otherwise it's just like a flat piece of glass that's at top, and it's got a marking so you know where the burner is. I suppose some people do like that. Well, I hope that helps. Let's go to some other folks, and they're both in Champaign. Line one first. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hi. Go ahead.
Yes, you were talking about cooking at an iron skillet, and I love my iron skillet.
Yes.
But a lot of people think that it's just a hassle. I am a guide in Copper Canyon, Mexico, and down there, this is the home of the harina wheat tortillas. They will cook those tortillas just directly on a cast iron wood stove, directly on the top of it.
Oh,
and
wow.
I think often we think, well, I have to get that skillet clean. Well, all they do, they just have a cloth, and they'll just kind of wipe it off, and they'll throw some more on, you know. And they're firing that stove with oak wood, and then just working either blue corn tortillas or harina tortillas there on the wood stove. They just do it directly on the stovetop.
On a wooden stove.
I
guess those grates that are on top of that hole, I guess it's exactly, you know, the same thing, isn't it? It's cast iron.
It's just like a griddle, and
yeah.
It's the best heat. You know, it's just very, very even and very consistent, and makes a great flavor in the whole house, too.
Well, first you get a wood-burning stove, and then you heat it up and you cook it. That's good.
Oh, boy.
Well, you're pointing out the value of that metal, that it conducts heat very, very well. And
it does. I think that sometimes people are just kind of afraid of a iron skillet. And
yeah.
We do a culinary trip down there, and it that's just always the highlight. People are like, they're cooking directly on the stove, you know. Yeah, it's wood stove, you know, and it's it's so delightful. It just fills every place with great cooking smells.
Oh,
you know?
Yes. Oh,
I'm
yes.
Sure. Well, thanks for the story. Well, I appreciate that.
Sure.
Well, and I guess that, you know, I have a little in our living room. We have a little cast iron wood stove.
Yeah.
I'm sure the top of that stove gets hot enough to cook on. So
They did. I have cooked on a small stove that, you know, tall like that and round on the top about like that, and I've cooked on the top of that because the heat is up there. Well, that's an interesting thought, that the directness of using the whole top of the stove. I don't think I've ever witnessed that.
Oh.
Aunt Nan never did it that way, I know. She always put her pans on top of it.
Well, let's talk with one more person here. This is also Champaign Line 2. Hello.
Hello. This is regarding the stovetop griddle.
Yes.
I got a really heavy-duty emerald one about 6 months ago, and I just really like it. I, too, am cursed with an electric stove. It's great for baking, but the stovetop leaves a little to be desired. But it's really heavy-duty. It's almost cast iron. They say it's nonstick. I'd question that. But I have a larger burner in the back and a smaller burner in the front.
Oh, yes.
And I just make sure I preheat the heck out of it. You know, I turn the larger burner down a little bit from what the smaller burner does.
Oh, okay. So you try to even them out, yes.
Yeah, even them out. And if I just let it go for a while, the middle does get hot enough to sear things, which is good. Another thing I found that if I lay some foil on top, the meat does get done to a point where we like it. We don't like it mooing. and if you don't cover it with anything, it tends to be really, really rare. But if you lay some foil on top and conserve some heat, it works really well. But my advice is to get a really heavy-duty one, almost cast iron weight, and preheat it, and it works pretty well. So you
spend the time in heating it up.
Yep.
And it should spread out. Maybe that would make a lot of difference. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't jump into it so fast. I on the other hand want to get the cooking done and be done. So as I say, I'm pleased with the fact that I just turn it up, and I have it as high as I can go, and I'm cooking on it inside of a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So the heating up, maybe.
Yeah, not with this. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe I'll adjust my thoughts about that.
Well, thanks for the tip, and maybe
yes.
that will help that the other listener, and he can try that out. And you just got to give it time to let it get hot.
Let.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye.
And but you're again. So the stove that you've got though, it actually has three burners
yes.
in a line. So you get more heat coverage on the bottom of
one burner has two areas. It burns. You can burn one burner and then turn it a little bit farther, and then poop, another 4 inches goes, and then the third one is another switch, and so it's all the way up and down, which is what gave me the courage to go ahead and use it, because I've always been apprehensive about those two hot spots.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, we're gonna have to leave it for the moment. We're done. Stick a fork in us. We're done. Thanks for the folks who called in.
What are we going to talk about in August?
I don't know. You're always in tune with the culinary zeitgeist, so I'm sure you're going to come up with something. Doyle Moore, ladies and gentlemen.
How to cook a zeitgeist.
He's the man we like to call our chef in residence. First Wednesday of the month, he's always here. Thank you very much.
That was good.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, everybody.